Hello, and welcome to our podcast, the 3 in the Afternoon podcast. We're going to try to do this pretty often, if we can. Although it's not 3 in the Afternoon, it's actually 4:59.
So it's basically 5.
Basically 5, yeah.
It's 5 in the afternoon.
Shut up. And so, yeah, this podcast is just basically three guys, which is me. I'm Emilio Rodriguez.
And I'm Jude Watt.
And we usually have a third guy here. His name's Todd. But he had an essay to write, so he's not going to be here today. He's going to be here next episode, though.
Yep.
For sure. And so this podcast is just basically us bullshitting for a while and talking about musical concepts and stuff like that.
And just funny stories.
And just funny stories, because we like talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so this first thing's meant to be a bit of an introduction, because between me and Jude have had so much together, because me and him are just really good friends. This is going to be a chance for us to really get to know Todd, because we only met Todd this year, and he's been a really cool guy regardless, but we don't know him as well. So this is our fun chance to get to know him. But yeah, so a bit of a history of me and Jude. Me and Jude met each other back in second grade. What were the circumstances?
We met back in second grade, and at our elementary school. He had played in the talent show, and he played "Hey Bulldog," and I'm a huge fan of the Beatles, and so I found him after that, and I was like, "Yo, dude, you played Hey Bulldog?" He was like, "Yeah, I did." And then we started talking about all that stuff. So we basically connected through the Beatles.
Yeah.
With that, and then I told him that we should do the talent show
together.
We do Hey Jude. And we do Hey Jude. So yeah. I'm the selfish little bitch.
Yeah. No. The funny thing is that I told one of my friends. I made a bet with one of my friends that next year I was gonna do Hey Bulldog again, but I was gonna like actually learn on guitar and put a backing track to it. But I never did. instrumental wise, I was a little bitch in elementary school, because I didn't want to learn really any instrument. I love music to death. Because I grew up listening to Tool and Rush and all that stuff, but I really didn't want to like listen to any. I didn't want to play any other instrument, because I failed my music class. Because you did get a grade in your classes there.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
they
were your specials. Yeah, but you did get a grade in them for participation.
Shit.
And I failed it because I failed it because I didn't want to learn the recorder, and that was the first instrument that I ever like played. I got a white belt because I went in there and I played Hot Cross Buns.
Yeah. Which actually, little side note thing, if you eat a hot cross bun and you take one of those breather things for like alcoholics whenever they pull someone over, it will register you that you are drunk.
Really?
Yes.
Does it have, what is a hot, what is it, what even is a hot
cross? I don't even know what it's like. Cinnamon bun? It's like a Cinnabon, something like that. I don't know.
Somebody correct us on that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Another thing, because me and Jude also have a lot of musical experience between us. His is more in the classical area of choral music, because me and him are both in choir, but he has more experience with singing with other choirs. I've only sang with three choirs my entire life. That was my middle school choir, my high school choir, and Choral Scholars, which is church.
Dude, Choral Scholars is even pretty new, like for you anyways.
Yeah, it's pretty new. Yeah, I really haven't sung with them for that long. It's been like probably 2 months at least.
Yeah, something like that.
A little over 2 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you got any stories from your choral stuff, man?
Yeah, I let's see here. Let me look for like one.
Because I know you sung with Hugh Jackman. That was cool. That was cool.
That's right. So I sang with Hugh Jackman in October of this year. Yeah, October of 2019, and the
quick side note, we're in my garage.
Yes, we are in a garage. We are quite literally a garage band.
Yeah, we're in my garage recording this podcast. We have the microphones, we have socks on them.
Yeah, just so this is like a dirty ass table that we have.
Yeah, this is a dirty ass table that I had in my backyard.
We got like the fucking part of a phone.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. All right. So we have this entire mixer in our garage here, because okay, so our theater department was throwing it out, and then we were like, dude, bruh, let's take it.
Yeah, and I've been eyeballing this for a while, but I just never really asked about it until, like, recent, like, two weeks ago.
Yeah, and then we went up and like, hey, can we take it? And they're like, yeah. So I'm like, oh, shit. So we got it. We loaded it up. We took it here. That thing's complicated as shit.
Definitely. It is. I
haven't sat down to read the manual yet, but it's complicated. It's really weird.
Uh-huh. And, like, it's the the digital mixing console, M7CL.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yamaha version 3.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's huge as shit. Like I can't stress to you enough how big this is. It is huge mix board. And we're
lucky enough to even get it.
Oh yeah. How much that thing costs? Like no. Pretty much, and it's at least $500.
$500 for that.
Yeah. Even like a used one, it's like $500.
Damn, Jesus. I would expect used to be $500, but like brand new, like
oh no, not brand new.
Brand new is like $2,000.
Couple thousand, yeah.
Yeah.
But used it's like $500.
Yeah, that's actually not bad. Yeah. We got it for free.
Not only that, we got like two lights and all that shit.
Yeah, two lights. We also got like ISS 506, which is basically just like it plays tracks, like the thing. So that thing right there. This.
All right. So we basically got two like little rack things.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, that was our like really good find. I think we've been having really good strokes of luck.
Mm-hmm. Recently, just yeah. Musical stuff.
But yeah, with Hugh Jackman.
Oh yeah, back to that. So I was part of this choral group in Houston, Texas. We're also based in Houston, Texas. Just gonna say that. Houston, Texas.
Houston and Kingwood.
And Kingwood, basically. Yeah. So basically, northeast.
Yes.
Northeast of downtown Houston,
mm-hmm.
In the United States, in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so Hugh Jackman, he's on this, I think he still is on this world tour. His first American stop was in Houston. And my choir, the Lake Houston Chamber Choir, singers, sorry, which we basically just only consist of retired vocal instructors, retired choir directors, really like, just a bunch of, and only a few high school students. Me and my brother were like the only high school students in there. And then my dad was in it as well because he's the choir director at me and Emilio's high school.
Yeah.
We had made a substantial name for ourselves in the short span that I had joined. And then Joe Weir, the director, he was like, hey, you guys want to sing with Hugh Jackman?
And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, we were like, what?
What?
And then we have a group me. We're all in a group me. And I saw that and like it just kind of went like just quiet, like all around. I was like, what? Whoa. The Wolverine, the Van Helsing. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and
that's.
So what was it like seeing fucking Hugh Jackman?
Oh, Jesus. Oh my God. So we waited for a good 15 minutes backstage. Okay, so we sang at the Toyota Center in downtown Houston. It's huge. It's like it's pretty big. The way that we were like underneath all the seats. We were in this really nice lounge area.
Mm-hmm.
That we had to wait in because we also shared with the orchestra that they had up there. Mm-hmm. As well. While we were singing there, it was kind of hectic, honestly, like not going to lie, because mm-hmm. there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. They had to move a bunch of stuff. Instrumentalists had to move their shit too. We waited 15 minutes on his way to go out to the stage, and he just burst through the door, and he's just like Houston Chamber Singers. And that's my Australian accent attempt, by the way.
And side note also, I didn't know that he was Australian until Jude told me this story.
Yeah.
I thought he was, he had some like American accent. The British people in general just have like a way of portraying like American accents like,
yeah.
really well. Like Hugh Laurie.
Oh yeah, definitely
played a house. So, like whenever he was cast, the dude who was doing the casting was like, "No British people, because British people can't. No British person can do an American accent." Mm-hmm. He was on a strong thing. They brought in Hugh Laurie. He didn't know who Hugh Laurie is, which is I was kind of like, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
He brought him in and he started talking, and he's like, "All right," and then he's like, "Well, you know, I'll call you," and they're like, "Yeah, he's it," and he's like, "He's British," and they're like, "He's like what?"
Damn, getting fucked right there.
Yeah,
but so he burst through the doors and like, and he's like 6'2" or 6'3", something like that. He's pretty tall. He's very tall. But like, I looked over and like, we were all just like completely silent. Like we were just like, our jaws just dropped. We were like, oh my God! And he is skinny. He is very skinny. Like
looking like Slenderman type shit.
No. I mean, he was skinny, but he was also like. Ripped, and he like I expected like this whole like Wolverine bod looking dude just to come out, but no, it wasn't. He was pretty skinny. And he kind of, so when he said, you know, like Houston Chamber Singer is like, oh my God, we were dead silent. He just kind of goes, okay.
Y'all had like a huge like starstruck moment there.
Yeah, we were just like, what the fuck? Like, you know, this is actually happening. And he smelled really strongly of just something. Like he smelled good, obviously. But you know, he came out and it was just really cool. I had a spot in the back for me, open for him to stand, but he kind of just crouched down in the middle. And so the photo that we took, there's still that open space, and you can only see half of my face.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a big rip.
That is.
Big rip.
But we took a picture with him, and we got to go out on stage to sing songs with him. We sang A Million Dreams. That was the last song that we sang with him. We sang the song from Dear Evan Hansen, One Day More. Mm-hmm. And then we sang... the people singing, we will know where they go. Oh, that is One Day More from Les Mis. And then we sang another song from Dear Evan Hansen that I completely forgot about. And so it was really cool. During, actually, my brother, during one of the songs, he was standing right by this like this corner just where he was. And then Hugh Jackman, like, patted him on the shoulder as he walked up, and so my brother was just like, oh my God,
you patted me,
dude. Yeah. And then it was super cool, and he also did something to my dad too, and so like I was kind of like, shit.
Aww, that sucks, dude.
But the only other thing was that at the end of A Million Dreams, whenever he walks out into the runway and he's like looking at everybody in the stadium, he's just kind of like, whoa, like he's like super happy. He definitely enjoys what he does. He like looked down at me because I was right dead center at the end of the runway, and he just kind of like gives me like a wink and like a smile, and just kind of like shakes his head. He's like dude, like this is it right here, like this is powerful. And I'm just like standing there, I was like, ha, 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 oh my God.
Yeah.
And then he just walked back, and then we left after the show was done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And then the thing that killed me just recently, he asked the same choir to sing with him in San Antonio, and I couldn't do it.
Aww.
My dad couldn't do it. Killian couldn't do it because my brother, Killian Watt, he's a freshman at UT Arlington in Texas. So a little shout out to him. He's doing well. I love you, Killian, a lot. So, yeah. But yeah, that was like just a super like starstruck moment of my life. And yeah, that's like really that was my experience with Hugh Jackman.
Your experience with Hugh Jackman. Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to other topics of stuff. What are some musical, like very musical hot takes you have?
How do you mean hot takes?
Well, hot takes, I'm meaning very like controversial statements.
Oh, controversial
some very musical conversations. I will start with this one.
All right, go.
I am not a big fan of the Rolling Stones.
I'm not either. My whole reasoning behind why I don't like the Rolling Stones is like super just weird. It's kind of like, what the fuck? But Emilio, go.
But I feel, I don't know. I listened to a couple of their albums, and it sounded pretty much the same for a lot of it. Same with the Greta Van Fleet. I'm not a big fan of Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, I think
after they release like probably another album, like they'll probably have their own sound. But right now they're still sounding like this like very old or this very Led Zeppelin esque sort of sound that it's like a boomers would love.
Yeah,
because it's very reminiscent. That's one of my musical hot takes. What do you got, Jude?
So to piggyback on the Rolling Stones thing. I was never a fan of the Rolling Stones because growing up, I was a big fan of the Beatles, and I was like, you know what, Beatles is like the only good music. Like that's how I thought. That is how I thought, and I was like, and anything else that really comes after the Beatles, like that's just like copies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then, like quite literally, with the Rolling Stones, they kind of sounded like the Beatles, and I was kind of like, well, that's like not really original, in a sense. And I don't think that now. I just don't really like them anymore. Like I didn't even like him to begin with, but like nowadays I'm just kind of like,
yeah, yeah. Bleh. I feel.
Yeah.
One of my things that I'm not a big fan of is the entire rock scene. Because my entire thing with music in general is I think you know, we can create like rock music, but I feel like the people who hold on to like this rock and roll idea, because let's be honest with ourselves, rock and roll is dead. There is
definitely. I think, because like, okay, the people that had started rock and roll way back even in 1955 and all that, they're obviously dead, but rock had its it had its place in the world, and then the flame died out.
Yeah,
as time went on.
I think a lot of the things too is that we miss the point of what rock was. Is that rock at the time when it came out, it was this innovative sound.
Mm-hmm. It was a way for people to express themselves.
Yeah, it was a way for people to express themselves. And I think what a lot of people miss is that it encouraged a lot of people to change what they can do with music,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, push the boundaries of what was possible with music. Because, you know, back then you'd have your classical orchestral stuff, and then came out with your big bands where you had a dude play guitar, it was some jazzy shit, and then some people were like, oh, well, if I cut holes in my amp, I can make a distortion.
That was the Kinks, right?
No, well, I think that was the Kinks, yeah.
Yeah, it's where he took like a razor and he just cut up the. Yeah.
I know. The first one of the first songs he used distortion was something by Link Wray.
Oh, yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, Rumble.
Rumble by Link Wray
was one of the first songs he used distortion.
And he used a Gibson SG on that. Just gonna say.
Really? Yeah, I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, his preferred guitar, I think, if I'm correct. You guys can kind of correct us.
Yeah.
His preferred guitar was an SG, whenever you played, so.
Yeah, but I think what a lot of people just like miss is that a lot of people like to hold on to the entire rock and roll idea. But I think for what we should do now is, you know, we can play rock and roll all we want, mm-hmm. we can play rock all we want, but we should not hate those who try something new with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially with a lot of electronic artists. One of the big things that happened in about the 1980s. Was the start of an 80s new wave, where we got a boom of technology that mm-hmm. helped us, that helped one person make an entire song. Yeah. Because, you know, before that, you'd have to have an entire band, you'd have to know how to play all that already.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so, but here's the thing. So you actually could, so way back before the 80s, whenever they didn't have all of the electronics that they have, that we have now, and mm-hmm. that they had in the 80s, like back in like the 60s, mm-hmm. mid 60s, 68, late 60s, mid 60s, whatever, mm-hmm. they would use tapes to record everything, but you could actually record over the tapes. You could use the same tape and you could record over the tapes. Mm-hmm. That's how a lot of, well, I want to say, so in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the Beatles,
yeah.
In Strawberry Fields, I think.
They reuse the tapes.
Let me take you down, cause I'm going to. Where it slows down, because they actually did that.
Yeah.
So where they took John was like, you know what? I kind of want to try this faster, a little bit, and then a different key, and then in a different style too. And then he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't like this. I'm not vibing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kind of cut the tape and they linked the tapes together, mm-hmm. so they played into each other. But you can also record over the tape. So you could have done like a one man thing, but it would have been incredibly hard.
It was incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. But like I said, when you came to your older time, like with Tears for Fears, they made Everybody Wants to Rule the World shout and what's it called? All around me are familiar faces.
Well, they didn't make that song. They covered that song from Simon and Garfunkel. If I wasn't that, then it was Simon or Garfunkel.
Are you thinking of Sound of Silence?
Oh, no. All Around Me Are Familiar Faces. It was out of Simon and Garfunkel that originally wrote that song, and then they covered it after them.
All right. But yeah, they made that with just the two of them. Like,
yeah.
Because that's cool. I thought that was super cool that at this time that you could have two people make such like amazing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't need a big band. All they needed was themselves and the equipment. Because even not learning your... whenever people say that doesn't take a lot, I'm laughing here because we have this like a roll of duct tape and Jude just got like a little phone thing and we have just put it on top and he's like, yo.
Yeah, because I was like, one of the things I told him before we even started this thing, I was like, dude, I'm just going to make like a cardboard like telephone post for this thing and we're just going to like lay it on there and it'll be like our little thing that we kind of have going on the table. So,
but, you know, because a lot of people who say that electronic music doesn't take art or doesn't take a lot of effort, they are really wrong.
They are incredibly wrong.
Because if you've ever tried, if you, one thing that you'd want to do with people who say that is get them, sit them in front of a computer and be like, here, right, do something. Because it is extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. If you want to make it sound at least good, like if you want to make anything that Deadmau5 or Daft Punk have made, you're taking a lot of time. Because if you've ever watched, because Deadmau5 does a lot of streaming. He streams his music making processes.
Yeah.
And so there was one time where he just kind of sends the sound file out. And then he's like, hey, if anybody wants to put vocals over this, they can.
Oh.
And then people just kind of do it, send it back to him. He's like, I fucking like that. And he uses it. But, you know, there's a lot of shit that goes into making electronic music. And anything just with backing tracks and all that, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing like a live show with a backing track, that still takes so much effort because then you got to line yourself up with the backing track.
Mm.
So it makes it they're both still equally as hard to play with a big band and then play with a backtrack. It's still equally as hard. And then even recording a big band and then recording electronic drums is still hard as shit.
Yeah.
Because then you got to find the right drum tone. You got to make sure all that is correct. And then even then, what most studios do whenever they record drums is they get the really good sample, the one really good sample of like snare or crash hit, and they keep that and then just repeat that.
Yeah.
Just so that you always have the really good one on every hit. That's what a lot of studios do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that we should innovate. I'm not a big fan of liking to stay. Like for me and Jude, we have a band. And actually, plug our band here. This is for our band, the Keystones. Mm-hmm. We're just starting, really. And I limited it to only two covers because I did not want to get stuck into the cycle of staying a cover band, and then having people like us because we do, you know, we cover songs in our own style. Like I don't want to stay on that because it's fun for a second, but after that, it's not that fun. Because I limited us to two songs because I don't want to go past two. And which is we did Temple of Syrinx from Rush, and then we're still deciding on the second one. But right now it's Sky Is Crying.
Sky Is Crying. I think that'll stay because Todd vibes with that, and then I also vibe with it. So I just gotta learn it.
Yeah, you just gotta learn. You just basically gotta learn
the
like,
words and the progressions.
Cause the words aren't that difficult. Uh-huh. Like you could probably just freestyle all that shit. Just you gotta know the chord changes, where it changes the entire chord and all that. But after that, we'd probably be set for that one. And then after that, we start writing our own stuff.
Mm-hmm. And me and Emilio, we
have written a lot of stuff
on our own.
On our own. Because, like I said, me and him have been friends for a while. Mm-hmm. So we have, right now, our most prominent song is this song that we made. We're sitting in my room, which my room is a goddamn mess.
Yeah, and we basically called it Messy Room. Mm-hmm. And So I had just the way I write words for a song, and any of my solo stuff, or just BS whatever. I just kind of like I take one topic, and I just try and expand on it as much as I can, and I make it go into much detail and make it as much dramatic as I can. Mm-hmm. This is poetry. I love writing poetry. Yeah, poetry is godly. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. But and then I was like, we need a name for this, and 2 minutes passed of just silence. Oops, someone's pulling down the driveway.
Oh, yeah, someone is.
And then I was just like, I looked around the room. I was like, dude, messy room.
Messy room.
And he was like, fuck you.
And we did it.
We made it. And yeah. It was actually good. I mean, yeah, it was.
And
so
we actually, it's something that we actually do, in which after this, we're probably going to upload that onto our SoundCloud.
Yeah, awesome.
Onto the 3 in the afternoon SoundCloud, which this will be, you know, on.
Mm-hmm.
And
feel free to, because you I know, can you comment on these? Yeah, you can comment on these things. Yeah. Please comment on these things. And then just to tell us things so we can interact with you guys.
Yeah, because we need that interaction.
Yeah.
Because, As if we have, like, a lot of followers, but, like, 2 likes per picture, like, that right there is bullshit. We can't have that.
Yeah.
So, please interact with us.
Yes, please. It'll be cool, because,
Because I like hearing about other people's views on stuff, and which you could, if you wanted to, even like call us out on like a BS and shit that we say here, because it's nice to know, you know, have a correction there.
And then again, we're just BSing.
Yeah, that's, like, that's
this is just BS.
That's this entire
right here,
podcast
yeah.
right now. We're just BSing. We're just fucking around. But yeah. What are some other, you know, I was thinking about this, in which I've told you about this many times before. Is I think one thing that people also lack sometimes is a really unique songwriting structure.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that that's a,
because my one of my main gripes with Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin is that, you know, Led Zeppelin, they had like Stairway to Heaven, but god damn.
Shit.
All right, hold on 1 second. Yep, let this car go by.
Let them pull out.
Let them pull out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bathroom break. All right, car has left, so now we're back with this, and I have used the restroom. So, like I was saying, my main gripe with Led Zeppelin was that a lot of their topics weren't all that different from each other. It was mainly talking about, oh, baby, you look so fine, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, their most popular song, Stairway to Heaven, like, I will give them that.
Mm-hmm.
Either it was about rock and roll or women. And
yeah.
It was
like
really
country music.
Bruh. Yeah, pretty much. A lot of
beer,
newer country.
Girls or trucks.
And then you go on to the earlier ones, and they're like just story of cowboys, and that's the good shit.
Oh yeah, that's the good stuff. That's Marty Robbins. Stuff.
Marty Robbins. Ooh, gets it. But they didn't have a lot of diversity with the way they structured their lyrics and the way that their lyrics were in general. They weren't all that different from each other. But like my favorite thing is Rush. Rush has so many insightful lyrics, and not only that, they have so many songs that just tell stories. Mm-hmm. Like that is the opus of songs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's one song in their entire discography that isn't from their original album, their self-titled album. I don't think there's one song that is about women.
Yeah,
that wasn't written by Geddy Lee or something.
Dude, you fucked up my phone, dude.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Okay,
but there wasn't one of those, and you know, that's really admirable. Not only that, they didn't use any cuss words. If you look in the entire discography of Rush, they never used a cuss word. That's like a little
damn.
Rush fact. Yeah,
wow.
No, they never use any cuss words.
I expect like shit or damn or something like that.
Nah, they use none of that. It was all damn. Just such eloquent words.
A PG group.
Yeah, they are. They're a really PG group. But yeah, that's what I loved about Rush. And not only that, one of my most recent things that I want to try is I want to try writing a song that just doesn't have a chorus. Because with music, I don't think your chorus should always be your most important part. I think your chorus can be important. Because, I mean, like, for example, like, I don't know. One of my friends told me that, you know, nobody would know Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue if the chorus wasn't Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows the verses to Girls, Girls, Girls. They only know, you know, the chorus. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that's you know, that's understandable. Because, you know, they named it after the chorus. If you can have a way to keep telling a story using your verses and not have to repeat yourself with your choruses, I think that would be something really innovative and really nice.
With me, I can't write a song with a chorus.
Really?
I've never been able to write a song with a chorus. Like, even with our, even with our Messy Room song. There is
chorus. I think we have a chorus. There is a chorus, but it's like less of repeated words, but more of a repeated chords and all that.
Yeah. So in a sense, okay,
there is a chorus.
There
but,
is a chorus in the
but
sense,
the words aren't the same.
The words aren't the same, but for the chorus, there's a different chord progression. For the break or the bridge, there is a different chord. I know, no break. Sure, sorry. For the bridge,
anybody
there are.
Seen the bridge?
Anybody seen the bridge?
That's actually one of my favorite Led Zeppelin songs. Even though I don't like Led Zeppelin sometimes, you know, I like Led Zeppelin at that time. I think that song's called The Crunge or something.
Yeah, something
I love that song.
But I personally can't write.
What are you looking at, G?
Personally, yeah, I can't write. I can't write
with
choruses.
Yeah, you can't write the words the same.
Yep.
I understand that. Bro, we should try to write iambic pentameter.
Iambic pentameter. No, please, no.
That I gotta write a poem in that.
You have to?
Yeah.
Wait, why?
Just because I want to.
Oh.
It's for my English class. There's
the poetry thing?
Yeah, the poetry thing.
Yeah, I just took one that I already had written and just.
Oh, well, screw off.
Well, I mean, because it was like last minute because I forgot about it and I was like, and so I went through my notes.
And then you found one.
And I found one. I was like, you know what? This is cool. It pertains to romanticism.
Yeah, I gotcha. But yeah. Those are some good musical hot takes. And so now I'm going to move on to this next topic, which is me and Jude's. So with our musical writing, we've had we've had some times where we thought we were like better at writing music than we actually were. So we had two ideas for like entire like rock operas.
Uh-huh.
All right. So one of them was named Life of a Dead Man.
Uh-huh.
And which most of these names and stuff I come up with. I think the next one, the second one, Jude came up with because it was based off a story that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So
wait, really?
Motherfucker, Jude.
Damn it. I fucked up my own phone.
Bruh.
Okay, that's it. We've both lost phone privileges.
We've lost phone privileges. All right. But so it was, the first one was Life of a Dead Man, which we based it off of.
Yeah, I actually have it right here.
Oh, you actually have it
right now? Yeah, I got this notebook only has about three going on five songs. And basically the words and the you know, everything will be based off of Antigone.
Oh, yeah.
By, what was that, Sophocles?
Was it Sophocles?
Yeah, Sophocles.
Sophocles. Yeah,
all right. Words by Sophocles. Just for the songs, and we would take excerpts from that, and then we were like, "Yo, what, dude? This sounds really cool. Yeah, like, yeah. Let's do it."
What do we have as the first song?
We got Hubris. That was the first song that we would do, and so basically, disc one or side one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, disc one for the record, because basically, so I had this whole idea that we could put this whole thing on vinyl. And there's actually this company that I was in contact with, and they do, if you send them MP3 files, then they'll put it on record for you, but it's like $200-something. Yeah. No, it's $100.
Yeah.
Like $180-something, but it's like...
expensive.
Man, it's pounds, too, because it's they're all the way in England, too.
Oh, that's going to suck, too, because you got to do it for shipping and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
No, $180-something, that counted the shipping.
Oh, counted the shipping. All right.
So that's pretty good. And
or if it's like $179 for shipping.
Yeah, like something like that. Dollar. It's like $190-something pounds.
Jesus.
But that's pounds, and so like.
So then equal that, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But math. Yeah. I can't do math.
I don't think anybody ever remembers like off the top of their head.
Well, I know that 5 euros, not pounds, euros, is $7.50 in American dollars.
All right.
So that would I'm not even gonna do the math right now.
Yeah, don't even do the math.
All right, anyways, back to the music.
Yeah.
Or the ideas that it would consist of. So there'd be vinyls, and there would be two discs on it, and they would have different songs. And obviously there'd be different songs.
How music
except for the Omen one that I have. Oh, it's basically the same song. One side is in English, and the other side is in German. And it's like, wait, what the fuck?
It's like, isn't it like some disco shit or like some EDM?
It's actually kind of funky. Like, really? Not gonna lie, like it's actually kind of groovy. Like I kind of vibe with it sometimes.
Is it because I couldn't find the one that we were looking for on Spotify?
Yeah, no, it was the one.
It was the one.
Yeah, that was the one.
That was the one.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, but anyway, so this one, the reason why it would be two. It would be two discs was because there's 50. This would be 15 songs.
15.
That's why I thought. I was like, you know what? 15 songs.
Okay, we thought.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. The first song would have been Hubris, and it would last for a good amount of time. Four songs aside, three on back.
Wasn't like the Hubris. Oh yeah, yeah. I remember what Hubris was.
Yeah, I got the words too.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the words.
No, I'll tell you the way that I thought of the riff for this was I recently broke I think it was the D string on my acoustic, and I decided to just play around with it. And then I came up with the main riff, which I'll probably link it somewhere. But like the main riff of it is like this dun 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 dun. It was some
dun 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 dun. Yeah, I remember that now.
So,
Jesus. So, okay, the car has left, and then it came back, and then it left again, and now it's
back. But just me as we stopped talking about it. But I came up with that. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was in my room. It was like dead night. Then I came up the next day. I'm like, Jude, listen to this. And I played it for him. I was like, that's cool as shit. And then after that, we left each other, and then like I came back the next day, and I had this entire intro. Where it was like some Spanish guitar shit, and then
but I'm the only one with a Spanish guitar.
You're the only one with Spanish guitar. And I think at that time I did actually have my I didn't use it, but I had my my grandma's nylon.
I don't think you did because I never saw it.
You've never seen my grandma's nylon?
No, I've never seen your grandma's nylon.
Oh my god, I had that for a good couple months.
Uh-huh. I don't think at the time I don't think you had it because I know you had the Ibanez.
Yeah, I had the Ibanez, yeah.
Mm. But I think that
maybe
was
I did. I don't know. I don't remember. But I came back and I showed him, and then we recorded it and all that. I recorded it.
He recorded it on his computer. Because he actually has a computer.
No, I recorded it on my phone.
Oh, you're on your phone. Okay.
No, that was before I started using Ableton on my computer. Mm. But I recorded it on my phone, and then I showed it to him. I was like, yeah, dude, that's cool. And then we came up with words for it, because at the time we were literally in English class. We were reading Antigone, and we're like, fuck it, let's use it.
Yeah, and it actually, some good stuff actually did come of that. Like, honestly, like, if you could see the notebook I have in front of me, like, it is messy. Like, I have words all over, like, 5 pages of this thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so the words that we had for hubris was, for God hates utterly, what is that? For God hates utterly the braai of,
Isn't it like the braid of bracking tongues or something like that?
Yeah, of bragging tongues, and and when he behold their family or their smiling, I can't read my handwriting, their swagger, of golden helms, okay, so basically, I can't read.
You can't read your own damn handwriting.
Yeah, I mean,
did you write in cursive?
Yeah, I did write in cursive, but like it was messy.
Some like messy.
Yeah, it was messy shit. Yeah. So basically this was, I think at the beginning of Antigone, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the beginning of Antigone. And, he was basically like, oh, there's going to be war and all this stuff. And it's like the gold of their homes and all this stuff. And, I had like this whole thing planned. So basically how I structure my writing in big works like this, or just like words. If I write it out, I use black pen for the words and I use blue for the notes, and then I highlight different things in like pink or green.
Yeah, and then you like put out notes like, oh, I put out here's notes, the long part. Yeah.
Lines. I just draw lines and I separate everything. Yeah, like I had this nylon guitar instrumental intro would be before we say for God hates utterly.
Yeah.
And then it would be long-ish, kind of like that. So it'd be Spanish guitar. We'd have a bunch of other things. Something.
So while we're on this topic, I wanted to first also preface like what the story we had for this entire rock opera was, and that was, I think I came up with the story. If I didn't say it already, the album was going to be called Life of a Dead Man, and so I thought of this story where a man, pretty much, dies, and a man dies, and as he's dying, God tells him, "Yo, my man, you're a dick. You got some unfinished business, also. So you're gonna go back down to earth. You're gonna see what you've done to people. You're gonna feel truly sorry for what you've done. And then once you feel truly sorry and you're able to accept what you've done, then you can come to heaven. Mm-hmm. You can lay in peace." And that was the last song we made. Because I made this entire instrumental in AV, in which I will use that sometime. But it's this entire little piano thing that I made up. And it was just called As I Lay in Peace. And it was just, it's a beautiful scenic piano part.
And it would be at the end.
It would be at the end.
It would be the end of the album.
The last song.
So, yeah. And then also, the thing with this, we had, me and him, just off mic, we had said that this was a failed idea. But we never actually started it. So, doesn't mean that it failed. We just kind of forgot about it. Because, you know, school. But like,
before this, we had like 2 other members.
Oh, shit.
That was an all right time.
Yeah, I got to remember.
Because I think we had these 2 guys named Chris and Alex.
Oh, yeah. Chris and Alex. Those guys are legends.
They are. Like, they are God tier.
They are so cool. I still haven't listened. No, never mind.
What?
When you had your other podcast, I didn't listen to the one. I haven't listened to the one with
With Alex. That was with like the Alex, second one. That was fun. He barely talked though. That's what sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, shout out to those 2 because I love them with my life. They're so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chris, he's on doing some Christian stuff, and
I don't even know what Alex is doing.
Oh, Alex, he went to California, I think. He's going to college up in there.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. He was gonna join the blue side. Like, we had him as our he came and jammed with us as our lead vocalist.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm going to California. I'm sorry, guys. And then we're like, all right, just stay for the podcast. But yeah, no, he's such a good vocalist. He can fucking get it.
Yeah, he's very good.
And then we had a practice here in my garage with Alex, me, Jude. It was Alex, me, Jude, and Chris. And Chris got my drums, my shitty ass drums,
yes.
set it up and made it sound God tier somehow. Because he sat there, he kind of tuned it and had it all set up.
He didn't tune anything. He just kind of like, I don't even know what he did. His playing. He's got the magic touch.
He played really well on my set. And then afterwards, I'm like, how the fuck did he do this? It sounded really, really nice too. I was like, oh shit. But he has a lot of drumming under his belt. He
12 years. 12 years was it? 12 years on drums.
Damn.
Yeah, that trumps me and Emilio's experience in playing guitar, like, combined.
Yeah, it trumps my experience of playing drums, like, heavily.
Dude.
I've been playing for, like, 3 years, at least, and at most. But, yeah, he trumped us on that. They're such good musicians, and I praise them the highest. But that was whenever we had them. I think we came up with – I come up with a lot of the cymbals for this – for this stuff, because I did a lot of the research into our Futark runes that we use.
Yeah,
I'll probably like link a picture or something of like,
yeah, something like that.
What they meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had them for a while. And I had the meaning of it written down. One of them was like the power of words. And stuff
yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that.
And like journey, and I was like, this is what music can be described as.
Mm-hmm.
And I use those a lot. I memorize those. Those are my babies as symbols. And then I forgot what they meant. And just recently, whenever I came up with another symbol for me, Jude, and Todd, that's when I researched them again and I found them. And, you know, I love those. I love the entire design that I came up with and all that. And which you will probably see that on our actual account sometime in the future. Because I just gotta design it. Mm-hmm. And then I gotta design it actually in Photoshop and then, well, actually have a symbol. A really unique symbol at that, because I don't want just a little like thing where it's just our name. I'm that's not fun. It's not fun at all. But yeah, so what else did we have? Did we have any other songs that we made it from?
We had Hubris. We also had Damnation, which that one was
I forgot
really cool.
about this
dude. That one I was like, oh yeah.
What was
it? It was like a hard rock kind of like just like. Boom! Yeah. Like just smack you in the face. One was the stepping off point.
All right.
Which this one actually it started off as excerpts from
Antigone,
and then I just kind of added my own thing. Yep. And like this would be like a whole orchestral kind of thing, to where there'll be strings and piano, and then a trumpet solo.
A little trumpet solo.
Yeah. And there was one that I was also writing. It wasn't from Antigone, but it is. It was How to Die. Basically.
Oh, yeah, based off of.
Yeah, based off of a book in the
which
works
we have right here.
Yeah, we have.
How to Die by Seneca.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good book.
Yep.
If anybody ever wants to just read a good book, this is a super good book.
Absolutely.
Because one of my favorite things about this is that it's split up to where half of it's in English and half of it's in Latin. Mm-hmm. So if you ever wanted to read in Latin, you know, you have that. But one of my favorite, just as a side note, one of my favorite excerpts from this book is talking about how you shouldn't really ever be scared in death.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the story about this man who was on his way to execution. And he, while he was sitting there, he was super calm about it. And he was like, hey, yo. And he went to the guards. And he's like, you guys want to play chess? And then they're like, sure. You know. So he plays chess. And before he could beat the other guy, they're like, hey, you're being executed. And then he's like, all right, cool. Turns to, because he had two guards with him. And so he turns to the other guard and he says, you're my witness. Whenever I die, don't let him say that he was winning. And then he left. Willingly let himself get executed. Didn't even flinch, didn't
Dude,
cry, whatever.
Yeah.
My man's. He really was out here. But yeah, this is one of my favorite books ever right now. But How to Die.
How to Die, like, I didn't even finish it. Like, that was it. It was like, prepare yourself.
So that was literally the chapters of this book.
Yeah, prepare yourself, show no fear, have no regrets, set yourself free, and then become part of the whole.
Yep.
And that's it, that's all we got.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I have a lot of stuff written on these pages.
Yeah. That was the first rock opera-esque thing that we ever tried to write. Mm-hmm. And then the second one, I heard this, I got inspired to try this after I heard Geddy Lee talk about writing Cygnus X1. Oh, God.
Yeah. Damn. All right, this is another journal I have, and I just have
He has three with him.
I have three with him, but the one of them I have, it's black and it's old and beat up, and it's the first one that I ever started writing words to in like middle school.
Jeez.
Yeah, I've never used them before.
Damn. Geddy Lee was talking about how he was writing Cygnus X1, which they wrote the lyrics to first and then wrote the wrote the instrumental to, because they were talking about how there's a story, and then literally what they did was they wrote the story and then made the soundtrack for the first said story. And you know, that's how they made Cygnus X1. That's how they started doing a lot of their story based songs, and I thought that's fucking genius. So then I was like, hey Jude, do what? You have any stories?
Yes.
And then he sent me this this project that he did back in like
seventh grade. For my English class, and it was basically a story that I had made for a World War One story of this guy, and it basically explained how, you know, he had gotten, I don't know, it's like, it's pretty complicated. But I sent it to him.
I think the gist of it was like, it was like, yeah, all right, my friend abandoned his post to go save some people, and then they're like, well, did he abandon his post? And he's like, yeah, but to save some people. And then it was like, no, he abandoned his post in general. So then his friend had to like watch him be executed.
Yeah, he was the one that executed him.
Oh yeah, he
had to be, because he was on a firing squad.
Yeah.
And I went really in depth with that. I went really in depth with that. Like that whole entire execution scene.
Yeah, that was a good story. And so then what I did pretty much was I read it, and then I broke it up into like, I think it was like 10 songs at most.
Yeah, you did.
I broke it up into 10 songs, and I had names for all of them too. And that's, I think, one of our like ideas that we have on the back burner, which we could probably use in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was another one. I don't think we ever put any music to it. I just kind of like separated it out and had the lyrics to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's one we can revisit in the future.
Definitely. And then the one with the life of a dead man, we can definitely revisit that as well.
Definitely, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, look out for that in the future.
Yeah. The distant future. The year 2000. It is the distant future. The year 2000.
And I've been to the year 3000.
No, shut up.
2000.
Shut up,
bitch.
Shut the fuck up.
All right, but yeah. So that was our musical ideas that we like had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you got, Jude? Honestly, it's kind of weird not having the third one here, because yeah, like, usually you pass like the ideas.
You pass ideas
you just
on
shoot
the
shit, and then just like nothing happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What is some really stupid story you have, Jude?
Give me something stupid. Not the 40 minute story. No way. It is way longer than 40 minutes, and it is also very, very personal, and I can only tell it to you if we're out around a fire.
Yeah. That's the only time we can tell.
Or on a long ass, no, not even a long ass car ride.
Yeah. That's the fun part. It's an amazing story, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't really.
We don't have any.
I don't really have anything else.
It's not one that we can tell.
Yeah, it's not one that
we
can tell.
We have no stories that we can tell.
Yeah.
That we're legally allowed to tell.
Yeah, legally allowed to tell.
Bruh,
indeed, man.
Well, as we have run out of ideas to talk about, we should bring this to an end as our first episode of the 3 in the Afternoon podcast.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for listening. You guys are the best, and I wish you a safe night and safe life. What do you got, Jude?
I hope that all of you guys' lives are going smoothly. If they're not, if you're kind of in a rocky patch, just remember that there are people out there that will be there for you no matter what. And think as that moment or this moment as a time in your life that it will be compared to a grain of sand, as compared to the whole beach of things that you will begin to experience in your life. And that's why life is a beach.
I had never thought of it that way, but that's kind of cool. That's really cool. And then, as the philosopher once said, like all things, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening, and see you guys next time we do this.